I would like to say myself that it is an honor and a privilege to be in the house of the Lord this evening, and I sure have appreciated the great liberty that I've enjoyed today. It's been a blessing, and I appreciate you, church. I love you, and I thank God for the opportunity and privilege. Go ahead and go to Jonah chapter 3 this evening. Jonah chapter number 3. But friend, I would like to say this, that if you are here and you do not know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, now would be the time that I would be seeking Him, because the Bible says, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call you upon Him while He is near. And since His presence is in our, He's with us this evening, then I would make sure that I would make sure that I would make sure to spend some time seeking Him and asking Him, because He said He would be found while He's near of those that need salvation, those that need help. But Jonah chapter number 3 tonight, when you find your place, stand your feet in honor and reverence to God's precious and holy word. Jonah chapter number 3, verse number 1, the Bible says, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Let's ask the Lord to help us this evening. Heavenly Father, I thank you and I praise you and I love you for allowing us this opportunity and privilege to be back in your house today. God, how you spoke to us through your word this morning, how you tendered our hearts to the thought of Calvary and all that you did for us. God, I beg of you, if there be one here that left out this morning tonight, lost, would you convict them and draw them and save them by your marvelous, amazing grace? God, would you help us as your people to get what you've got from your word, and help us, oh God, to pay attention to what you've got. We desperately need you in this day. Get glory and get honor in Jesus' precious name with much thanksgiving. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I'll give you this thought as quickly as I can. And again, I thank you, church, for your hospitality, for Brother Tim and his family and their hospitality, and of course the church and Miss Renee and the family and their hospitality. What a privilege it's been to be here with you today. And by the way, it's your choice that you came back tonight. You didn't really know much what you were getting this morning, but you made a choice to be here tonight, so it's your own fault. But Jonah chapter number 3, the Bible says in verse number 1, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. And I'm going to try to preach for that in just a little while, the Lord being our divine helper, on when God gives a second word. When God gives a second word. And friend, I thank God for the opportunities and the times in my life when God has given a second word. And you understand something, God does not have to give a second word. You understand, in the life of Abraham, when he left the Ur of the Chaldees, all God told him was to leave and that he would tell him along the way where he was going. But before he got too far on his journey, he stopped in a place called Haran. And you'll notice in that place called Haran, his father was still alive and his nephew Lot was still with him. And before he ever got another word from God, he had to leave the place that God told him to leave and get to that place that God had told him of. He never got another word until he had obeyed the first word that God had said. Now in this text, you'll notice something. God does not change the words that he gives to Jonah. God does not give him a new revelation. God does not give him something off the wall. He does not change the message that he is sent to preach to this wicked and awful city. He gives him the same exact word. He gives him the same exact thing. He just gives him another opportunity to get it done. But he came in the word of God, the word of the Lord, came unto him the second time. And I want to ask you again, you that are saved, how many of you could raise your hand tonight and say that you got saved the very first time God ever dealt with you? There's very few of them. I know that for a fact, because a lot of people, they've been dealt with and dealt with and dealt with. But I thank God that he does allow a second word. Now, notice the first thing. There's grace for the second time. Jonah's life is covered over in grace. You say, well, I don't believe that. He seemed, all we know about Jonah, we had this preconceived idea, and we do know it. He was pretty rebellious. He liked to go away from God. He's one of the only prophets of God that ever ran from the Lord to try to get away from his perfect will. But here in this text, and you'll notice as it's only four chapters long, and it might have been longer had he not got so upset and been so prejudiced over seeing those people get right. But notice in the very first of Jonah's life, there is grace in the storm. God sent a storm of grace. You say there was nothing good about that. There was no grace in that. Friend, the fact of the matter that God cared enough about Jonah to use him and wanted him to be used after he fled from the presence of God shows that there is a storm of grace to get you back where you're supposed to be. Though he caused the storm, though it was his fault, it was God that sent that in his life to get him where he needed to be, in the place that he was supposed to be. Now, not only was there grace for the storm, but there was a swimmer that was covered in grace. And friend, that was that great fish, that whale that swallowed up Jonah to give him a place to repent and turn to the living God. Now, you and I that are saved, you understand that in our Christian life, we need places to turn from our sin. And God will get us to places in our life to get us to turn to God, to get us to look to God, and to surrender ourselves to him. And if you do not, there are worse punishments, friend. And there are some things worse than death, by the way. God can start taking stuff if you don't get obedient quick. But friend, the grace for the second time, and now he gives a second word. And friend, none of us deserve a second word. I don't know a sinner sitting on a church pew tonight that deserves a second word from God. I don't know anybody, I don't know myself, friend, that deserves anything for a second time from God. But friend, we have been given grace, and Jonah was given grace, and he gave him a second word. Not only grace for the second time, but notice that great sinful city. Verse number 2, the Bible says, "Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee." So Jonah rose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And now if you'll notice over, you don't have to look, but in chapter number 4, he deals with that in the last verse of the Bible, God's in the last verse of the chapter. "And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle." And I know I'm not a mathematician, I've never been great at it, but that's at least 120,000 people, if I'm not mistaken. And that's a good chunk of people. I know with our numbers today and our millions and our billions that we understand, about 7 billion on the face of the earth, but a city full of 120,000 people and all the livestock and all their wives and all their kids, that's a pretty big deal. Now, from what I can tell, Nineveh was a very wicked place. It was a very powerful place. It was a very prominent place in that day because they had a lot to do with trade. They had a lot to do with the Tigris River. In that day, they were a prominent, very well-defensed city. They were one that was doing well for themselves, and they were well-guarded. And it took Jonah, from some people believe, it took him 3 days to even get across through the city. But the Bible says, now it was an exceeding journey, but verse 4 says, "And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried and said, Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." Now tonight, as we understand, as God gives a second word, and this great sinful city, do you not know people? Do you not know places that are full of wicked people? As I began to live life, and as I began to see, as you travel, you get to see people that are just not outside of your hometown. And friend, places and people are wicked. They've always been wicked. This is nothing new. Human depravity has not changed since the days of Noah. Human depravity has not changed since man fell into sin. They've always loved their self. They've always loved sin. They've always been drawn to wicked things. Nineveh was a place of sensuality. It was a place of wicked desire. It was a place of wicked living. They care not. And he said, let every man, the king even said it. Verse number 8, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Now, I'm hurrying as best I can this evening. I don't want to hold y'all too long. But friend, that great sinful city, it was full of wicked people. And I believe with all my heart that Jonah, and we know he was prejudiced. You understand, he was prejudiced against the people of Nineveh. That's why he had the issue. He didn't want to go. He had an issue with dealing with them because he was a Jew and they weren't. But in this situation, they get the message. God gave a second word. Jonah was obedient to that word. But I'll give you this thirdly. Notice the girding of sackcloth. What verse 5 says, actually verse 4, the Bible says, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. That's 8 words as far as I can count. Again, I'm not great at math. But that's 8 words. 8 words in a message. Y'all would stroke out if I only said 8 words and sat down. Maybe I need to. I don't know. Amen. But verse number 4, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. He was not going to pump them up. He was not going to make them feel better. He was not going to tell them how good they were, that they just needed to do a little bit better. He was going with a message of judgment. He was going telling them that God's hand of judgment was about to fall. And by the way, God's hand of judgment has got to be about to fall on this nation. Think about it, friend. I do believe God has given us a space of grace. I believe that. With the administration of the things that are going on right now. But friend, you understand that he'll have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah if he doesn't do something about America. Friend, things are wicked. The girding of sackcloth matters. He said 8 words and pronounced judgment. Please don't get upset when your pastor preaches judgment. Please understand that when God sends a message of judgment, his intention is for men everywhere to repent. God's intention is always that of reconciliation. We think a lot of times, and Brother Tim, I know I've had that mindset before. Well, you know, they look better than going than they do coming. It'd be better just to let them go. And I mean, you know, we're flesh. You know, it happens that way. But friend, what God's desire is reconciliation. What God wants, the reason he went to Calvary that we talked of this morning was so he could reconcile us to God by the death of his son, Jesus Christ. That's the reason that we can be saved is because of reconciliation. What God desires in broken homes is reconciliation. And in this situation, repentance and reconciliation was what he wanted. They were a Gentile city. They did not care for God. But notice verse 5, and by the way, 5 is the number of grace. So the people of Nineveh believed God. God help us that our people in this day would just believe God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. Now this work of girding sackcloth, it was nothing that was beautiful to look at. It was nothing glamorous. It was, if you know anything about it, this was what people did when they mourned. When someone would die, they would gird themselves in sackcloth and sit in ashes like Job did. They would sit down among the ashes of yesterday's sacrifices and they would throw it on their head and throw dust on their heads, signifying their grief and signifying that their heart was broken. But I ask you today, and this was an outward work of what I believe with all my heart, this was an outward work of what was going on the inside. And I remember John the Baptist saying something like, bring forth fruit, meat for repentance. How many people, how many genuine sinners have you met this week? How many, seems like you can't hardly find anybody lost. And then those that come down, they come weeping to an altar and they get up and they go out and they live just any way they want to. That unnerves me, friend. And it should you, because the salvation that you and I know that are saved, it changes us and it has changed us. And it won't let us live in the same sin we used to be in before we got saved. That's the beauty of salvation. It's different now. But what my concern is that we don't see very much of this sackcloth and ashes on those new converts. They don't turn much from their sin. There's those that claim to have something in their heart, claim that Jesus did something for them, but yet they go their way, they get up, they cry the tears, go out, and they live life any way they want to. That does not line up with your Bible, and it never will. God changes those that are His. Whenever God gets, and I know it may get me in trouble, but it doesn't matter, it's Bible. Friend, God changes everyone that He comes into contact with. And you claim you're saved, show me by your life. James asked the question, he said, show me. He kept asking, show me your faith by your works. And friend, I know we're not saved by our works, and that's absolutely not what I'm saying. It's no more of works, what Paul said in Romans. But friend, we are born again. And it's a gift of God. It is the gift of God, not of works. Lest any man should boast, but we show what we have by our works. Notice what it says, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. Verse 6, for word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. This is the highest power in the land. That would be like our president getting out of the Oval Office, locking himself out of the Oval Office, taking off his jacket and getting down and crying mightily before God for 3 days and three nights and never touching a drop of water or anything of food. And this people, and I know they're just pagans trying to repent. And by the way, friend, repentance is still right. Bible turning from sin is still right. Repentance is just a change of mind that results in a change of heart, that results in a change of life. It will change your life. But notice, he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and ashes. That's the ultimate humility. And friend, until you get humble enough to set yourself in a place of repentance, you'll never find anything from God. You'll never get anything from God. And by the way, you'll never have an exalted position in life. You can try to get yourself there by your own will, but to get anywhere with God, the Bible says to go up, you've got to go down. To be lifted up, you've got to humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. The girding of sackcloth, those 3 days and three nights, show their outward repentance. And it caused it to be proclaimed and published through the Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. Now, this is what happens when somebody means business. When they get serious and when people get serious with God. See, they didn't know that animals could still eat and go on, but they were so afraid. They knew that judgment was coming, and they had heard the proclamation from the Word of God, and they knew that judgment was about to fall. And friend, it would behoove us in this day, if we knew that judgment was about to fall, for us to move with fear quickly, as Noah did, for the saving of his household, and as Jonah preached to this city, and as this king proclaimed this fast. He wouldn't let anything happen. He wouldn't let anybody eat. He would not let anything go on. But the girding of their sackcloth, he said, verse 8, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Friend, I will promise you this. He says, let them turn everyone from his evil way. That's a personal dealing of the Lord. When God comes to you, I'm glad He came to this city. But what happened was it got broken down so that the individual could turn from his sin. It didn't matter if your sin was murdering or fornication or adultery or drunkenness or whatever. It did not matter. He said, let everyone turn from the violence that is in their hands. And that denotes a continual lifestyle of wickedness. The violence that would be in their hands is what they were doing every day, every time they would lay their hand to something. The girding of sackcloth is important, friend, because it shows God that we're serious. You say, well, I know He knows our heart. And He does, but friend, the outward showing, verse 9, notice what it says. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from His fierce anger that we perish not? The question coming from these brokenhearted individuals that saw their sin and dealt with their sin. And then he says in verse number 10, and this will be our last point and we'll be done. The God who saw their works. And God saw their works. That they turned from their evil way And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Friend, God gave a second word so that people would be spared. God gave a second word, not just for Jonah's sake, but for that city's sake. And by the way, remember, if God's dealing with you about something, as a child of God, he's probably got something else in mind for you to do. He's got a work for you to do. And if he's trying to call you or deal with you in your life, you need to be obedient and you need to be sensitive. It does not matter if it's a testimony in a Sunday night service, or if it's giving money to missions, or if it's being obedient to the call of ministry. It does not matter to God. But God saw their works. God always has an end in mind. He knew that by Jonah's obedience, those people would be saved. They would repent, and they were turning from their sin. By the way, God still sees our works. God still sees the works of repentance in a sinner's life. You remember when you first got saved, how you turned from your sin? How you got rid of the stuff you used to listen to, you didn't go the places you used to go, you didn't dress like you used to dress, and God began to change everything about you, because he did change everything about you. And what God did on the inside, it just kind of naturally worked its way out. That's all that is. God will work out of you what's in you. And by the way, that scripture about working out your own salvation, you can't work out what's not been put in. Friend, all that's been put in, you can work out, and that's all salvation is. The God who saw their works, I'm glad there's a God in heaven that cares enough about wicked people to send somebody to tell them that judgment is coming. I'm glad, friend, Brother David Shelton was preaching on a Wednesday night in Burnsville, North Carolina, the night a 6-and-a-half-year-old boy got under conviction and fell in an altar and got born again. I would not be standing here had he not stood up there. Friend, it matters to God. God saw their works and God sees your works. And you that are lost and you that have been dealt with and you even as a child of God, there's a reason God's dealing with you over things in your life. The God who saw their works, I'm so glad he's not blinded to that. You say, well, God doesn't care about my works. He absolutely does. Why would he care about a wicked Gentile city that didn't really have enough sense to know right from wrong? Friend, they knew every man's got the law, some form of law written, some form of right and wrong written in their heart. You learn that in the book of Romans. But friend, they believed God. They proclaimed a fast. The king, from the greatest to the least, the king down to the poorest person, they sat in sackcloth, wept and mourned mightily before God and begged God to turn from his anger and his wrath. The God that saw their works and that they turned from their evil way. And it is still right, by the way, to turn from your evil ways. God, Brother Tim, this is something I'm learning as the longer I'm in ministry. God's people have some wicked ways about them. Y'all all right? God's people have some wicked ways about them. And God doesn't like it at all. Friend, it's your responsibility to live like this Bible says you ought to live. It's your responsibility to stay free. We get down and we beg. Our prayer life is so messed up sometimes. We get down and we beg God to do things that he's told us to do. We do. We say, Lord, save our neighbors. But you've never bothered to talk to them about Jesus. We say, Lord, I need this or I need that. When he's asking you, have you just obeyed my word? And friend, God was not going to spare Nineveh. The judging hand of God was going to fall. 40 days if they had not repented. Then, by the way, they didn't waste any time. They had 37 days left. Friend, they were not wasting any time. And by the way, God saw their works. And he turned from the evil, friend. And I'm so glad that when God gives a second word, it does matter. And if God has given you a second word, if God gives you another chance, if you haven't been obedient tonight to him, and he gives you another word, I urge you and I beg you to be obedient to him. Because I promise it will pay off. And his obedience did pay off. Even though we know how he got out in the desert and watched to see if God was going to destroy that city or not. And I believe he probably wanted them to die. But friend, there were children in that city. Think about it. These kids that were up here singing, that one reminded me of my little brother, and he's 20 years old. But friend, if not for yourself and for your family, for the children, be obedient to God. It matters, church, that you mind him. It matters when the Lord lays on your heart to slip some money to that missionary. It matters to God. God always blesses and God always gives back. So quit doubting Him and just start doing. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word tonight. Thank You for being so good. Just get the glory and get the honor out of this service. Blessed Brother Tim, blessed Brother Davey, and this church and their family. God, use them mightily for Your glory and for Your honor. Keep it a lighthouse in this community, in this area, and part of the world. Have Thine own way, O God. In Jesus' name, with much thanksgiving, amen and amen.